Tonight, we're going to look at one more theme in the book of Proverbs before we head into that new series. And tonight, we're going to look at Proverbs as it discusses the life of the heart or the life of the mind. I'm calling this wisdom from the inside out. So just focusing on our thoughts, focusing on what Proverbs calls our heart, and just how important that is for not only our thoughts, but also our actions and the direction that we take in life. And so our goal from this is to have a disciplined heart and a disciplined mind. And really, in biblical thinking, there's really not a lot of difference between those terms, heart and mind. A lot of times in the Old Testament literature, you'll see the idea of the heart. And it's not talking about the physical heart that's beating in our chest, but it's talking about really our inner thought life. It's talking about our, sometimes it can refer to our emotions. Sometimes it can refer to our thought processes, our planning. Sometimes it refers to our moral choices. Now, basically, it's our thought life. So when it's talking about the heart, it's where we think, where we feel emotion, where we make decisions. And what we want to do is we want that to be disciplined by God's wisdom. We want to bring our thought life, our inner life, into conformity to God and His truth. And this is so important. And Proverbs bring this out, just how important it is, because our thoughts govern our lives, don't they? Our thoughts govern our lives. We don't do anything, we don't say anything without it first beginning in our minds. And so our thoughts are incredibly important, aren't they? But Proverbs tells us that our thoughts are important. They are what governs our whole life. And our heart, our thoughts, tell us what we really are inside. Our thoughts tell us what we really are inside. There's nobody except God who knows us as well as we do, right? No matter how long you've spent with somebody, no matter how many years you've been married and lived in the same house with someone, that person still does not know every thought that you have, do they? God does, right? We know God knows everything. God knows us better than we know ourselves. But we know ourselves, humanly speaking, better than anybody else. And we know what we are inside. We know what we present to other people when we're in public, when we're in church, when we're at work, when we're in our homes with our families, but we also know the thoughts that we have that nobody else knows about. And so what's in our hearts reveals what we really are, inside and at the core of our being, at the core of our character. Proverbs 12 and verse 5 says, "The plans of the righteous are just, but the advice of the wicked is deceitful." And what that's talking about is just in the heart life, in the thought life, there is a difference between the righteous and the wicked. So those who are righteous have righteous plans. They have good thoughts, good plans, good intentions. But those who are wicked, what comes out of their mouths and from their hearts is deceptive. It is foolish. So what a person is defined by what's in their heart. Proverbs 23 and verse 7 says, "For he is the kind of person who is always thinking about the cost. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you." And the point Proverbs is making there is that it's possible for someone to present something on the outside, but be something different on the inside. They may flatter you with words, but really they're not with you in their heart, in their thinking, in their spirit. So what we are really is what is inside that other people don't always know. Proverbs 12, verse 20 says, "Deceit is in the hearts of those who plot evil, but those who promote peace have joy." And I think probably the clearest explanation of this in Proverbs is 27:19, where it says, "As water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart." So what we are on the inside, that is who we truly are. And sooner or later, what we truly are on the inside is going to come out. It will be seen. And so our thoughts tell us what we really are on the inside. Our thoughts also determine the direction and the outcome of our lives. So what we think, what we plan, our ambitions, our motives, our desires, our longings, what we love, that's what governs what we do, the choices that we make, the direction that we take in life. That's why Proverbs says in chapter 4, verse 23, that above all else, we need to guard our hearts, for everything you do flows from it. Guard our hearts. I just want to stop here for a second because this is a very important verse in Proverbs, one that many people quote from Proverbs, and it shows the importance of it, doesn't it, at the very beginning when it says above all else. That shows the importance of what the wise teacher is teaching his son. Above all else, guard your heart, because everything else that you do flows from it. So if we're thinking of the heart in terms of our thoughts, our emotions, our desires, our ambitions, our plans, what we decide or will to do, how do we guard that? So I just want to open this up for a little bit for discussion. He says, guard the heart. How do we do that? How do we guard our thinking? How do we guard our thought processes?
Pray a lot.
Prayer. So that's a form of the thought life, isn't it? So when we're praying, our thoughts are very directed, aren't they? They're directed toward God. And it helps us to, especially at those times, to have a very focused thought life. We're focused on God. And also when we pray, we're asking for God's help, aren't we? We're asking for God's help to help guard our hearts. As Jesus teaches us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. So we can also pray, Lord, guard my heart. So I need to guard my heart. I have a responsibility to guard my heart, but I can ask God to help me in that. And I can have times of prayer where I'm dedicated to focusing on God. How else can we guard our heart or influence the thoughts that are in our hearts? It's a big part of it, isn't it? Yeah, where you go, the people that you associate with, that's why Proverbs spends a lot of time on that. That's a really good point. So he talks about don't hang around with the lazy person, the slothful person. Don't hang around with those who are foolish. Don't hang around with those who are rebellious towards authority, the strange woman, the adulterer, the adulteress, all kinds of people that Proverbs says, don't hang around these people because that will influence you. So your associations, which means that we need to consciously choose who is going to influence us, right? Now, we can't take ourselves out of the world. We can't always take ourselves out of our job or out of our classroom or out of wherever we are in life, but we can have some influence and some choices in who we let closest to us and influence us the most, who our best friends are, who our counselors are, who the people that we listen to are. So we need to choose that very carefully because that does have a big impact on our hearts. Yeah. I think a couple of good things there. One is one way to help guard your heart is to know yourself. And like you were saying, know your past, know your weaknesses. And then the other thing that you mentioned was very important is the Word of God. And so we can help guard our hearts by hiding God's Word in our hearts, by reading it, meditating on it, studying it, and specifically with those areas of our lives where we need some scripture to help us in that fight. Some weapons of our spiritual warfare, if you will. Take the Word of God inside of us. How else? All these are very good. Guard your associations, your friendships. Guard your weaknesses. Know what your weaknesses are. Intake the Word of God. Spend time in prayer. Y'all think of anything else? How else can we guard our hearts, guard our thought life?
When you get ticked off about something, don't just hang on to it.
Okay. Yeah. That's really good because sometimes we can get upset about something and we just let it kind of stew and fester and that's not healthy, is it? So we can let that turn into anger and turn into bitterness and that's not healthy. That's exactly right. And we have a choice in that. we can seek to forgive. We can seek to reconcile that situation. We can just seek to let it go. And that's a really good thought. Yeah.
What we take in through our eyes and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the things that I think that's a part of it too. The things that we spend our time on taking in, and I've mentioned this before that the way to our mind or the way to our hearts is through our senses, isn't it? Primarily through our senses, but the two most important ones that I think where we're influencing our hearts is through the eyes and through the ears. So what we hear and what we see, that has a really big impact on how we think. And so we need to make some good choices about what we want to spend our time reading, watching, listening to. I think that's all very important to guard our hearts. These are all really good thoughts, and it takes effort. It takes effort to guard our hearts. We need to ask God to help us do that, but we also have a responsibility, don't we? Because here, the wise teacher is saying, you have a responsibility to guard your heart. So we need to ask God to help us in that, but we have a responsibility to set up guards over our heart. Proverbs 4:26, just a few verses later, says, give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. One of the things that marvels me about Proverbs is almost everywhere throughout the whole book of Proverbs, there's a lot of focus on direction, on paths, on roads, and just this idea that choices that you make take you down certain paths. They take you down certain roads. And you can even see this in Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is like a wisdom kind of psalm. And it says, blessed is the one who does not walk, right, in the counsel of the wicked. Sit in the seat of scorners. And so don't take that path, but blessed is the one who is walking in God's path, who finds delight in God and his word. So be careful the paths of your feet. Proverbs 21 verse 5 says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. Now we could apply that to the realm of finances, and there's something there that we can learn from that as well, but it also starts in the heart, doesn't it? So if you want to make a profit, you have to make good plans and you have to set your heart in the right direction. But if you're hasty, if you're lazy, if you're not setting your heart on thinking the right direction, then that also has a result, doesn't it? Proverbs 14:22, do not those who plot evil go astray, but those who plan what is good find love and faithfulness. So our thoughts are important because they govern our lives. They tell us who we are inside, and our thoughts determine the direction and the outcome of our lives. Something else that Proverbs teaches us is that God cares about our thoughts. God cares about our thoughts. In other words, God has something to say about our thoughts and what he thinks about our thoughts. And first of all, something that's really sobering that we see not only in Proverbs, but in other places in Scripture too, is that God knows all of our thoughts. I was saying this a little while ago. We know ourselves better than any other human being, but there's one person who knows us even better than that, and that's God. He knows our thoughts. He knows our intentions. He knows our motives. He knows everything about us. Proverbs 15 verse 11 says, death and destruction lie open before the Lord. How much more do human hearts? He sees it all. He sees everything about us. A person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart. The Lord can see into our intentions, our motives, what we really desire to do. The human spirit is the lamp of the Lord that sheds light on one's inmost being. It's a very interesting way of picturing, isn't it? Is that the human spirit, God looks through that almost like through a window with a light on it, and he can see inside your heart, see your thoughts. And so God knows everything about us. And so there's really no point in hiding, is there? There's no point in trying to cover up what we're thinking. There's no point in trying to cover up what our motives or intentions are, because God knows it already. So we might as well confess, we might as well repent, and we might as well seek to walk in the right way, because we can't hide anything from God. And we know from Scripture that God hates our evil thoughts. He hates things that begin in our hearts that are wicked, that have evil intentions. Proverbs 6, verse 16 says, "There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him." And two verses later, it gives us what a couple of those things are that the Lord hates. And one of them is a heart that devises wicked schemes. A heart that devises wicked schemes. And so it begins there, evil intentions, evil motives, evil plans, and then it works itself out, doesn't it, into actions. The Lord detests the thoughts of the wicked, but gracious words are pure in his sight. Proverbs 28 says, "Whoever increases wealth by taking interest or profit from the poor amasses it for another who will be kind to the poor. If anyone turns a deaf ear to my instruction, even their prayers are detestable." Interesting, isn't it? That God, even the prayers of a wicked person with a wicked heart are detestable in God's sight. In other words, somebody who on one hand prays to God, but yet all the while they're doing injustice, mistreating their neighbor, how worthwhile is their prayer? Is essentially what Proverbs is saying there. And God knows that. God knows what's in their hearts. And he detests wicked thoughts, unkind thoughts. One thing that we saw a couple weeks ago, too, about our thoughts, our plans, is that God can sovereignly overrule them, can't he? So we can have thoughts, we can have intentions, we can have plans, but God can sovereignly overrule those in his will. Proverbs 19, verse 21 says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." We talked about that a couple weeks ago, where we can plan things, but things that we plan don't always work out, do they? Because God rules. He reigns. And sometimes God vetoes our plans. Proverbs 16, verse 9, "In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." Proverbs 21, 30, "There is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord." So God's will is ultimate, isn't it? We have a will, we have thoughts, we have plans, we make decisions from our hearts, but they're ultimately subservient to God and his will. God rewards and fulfills righteous thoughts and plans. So one of the things that we learn in Proverbs is that our actions have consequences. Our actions take us on different roads. And if we're wise, then we, in faith and in fear of the Lord, take the path that God's wisdom has laid out for us. And that path of wisdom leads to blessing, doesn't it? It leads to blessing, oftentimes in this life, but ultimately in the life to come, walking in God's narrow road. But if we take the path of foolishness, if we reject God's wisdom, we don't fear the Lord, we don't trust his word, then that leads to destruction, doesn't it? That has consequences. And so God hates evil thoughts, but he rewards and fulfills righteous thoughts and plans. Proverbs 14, 22, "Do not those who plot evil go astray, but those who plan what is good find love and faithfulness." So those who have good hearts are blessed. Those who have evil hearts, they wander off the path. They get lost, essentially. Destruction. Proverbs 10, verse 24, "What the wicked dread will overtake them, what the righteous desire will be granted." So we talked about this before. Commit your works unto the Lord, and your steps will be established, your paths will be established. And the idea of that is the more that we can align our hearts, align our thinking, align our motives in line with God and his righteousness and his will, then the more likely is that those plans will succeed. And that's essentially what this is saying. Those who have righteous desires, righteous plans, righteous thoughts, God's on the side of that. And he desires to grant those. Now, we know that Proverbs are not absolutes, right? Proverbs, proverbial wisdom, is not in every single scenario does it work out like this. But generally speaking, this is how God's world works. And so those who think rightly, God desires to bless them. And so our reaction to that then should be to submit our thoughts to God and his wisdom. Submit our thoughts to God and his wisdom by putting away improper thoughts. Proverbs 30, verse 32, if you play the fool and exalt yourself, or if you plan evil, clap your hand over your mouth. The idea of that is stop yourself. If you have evil intentions, if you have evil thoughts, stop yourself before you act on those thoughts, act on those plans. Put away those improper thoughts. And so put away, put off unwholesome thinking, evil thinking, and seek to align your thoughts with God's wisdom. Align our thinking with God's wisdom. Proverbs 16 says, to humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. So bring your thoughts, bring your inner life into conformity with God and his word. And I just wanted to finish with a few passages from the New Testament that I was just thinking about that reinforce a lot of what Proverbs is teaching on our thought life. A few passages from the New Testament. One is Luke 6, where Jesus says, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. In other words, that's a point that we've made earlier in the lesson, is that what we are on the inside, that is how our actions and our direction in life is determined. And Jesus is teaching that same thing when he says, eventually what you are on the inside is going to manifest itself in the fruit that it produces. And so if your heart is evil, you can cover it up for a period of time, but eventually evil fruit is going to show itself. If your heart is good, then not every piece of fruit is going to be good, but generally speaking, you're going to see good fruit come out of a good heart. Because as a person acts, as a person talks, what you see on the outside, it comes from the inside first. Philippians 4:8, probably one of the most famous verses of Paul, he teaches us how to direct our thought life. In Philippians 4, verse 8, he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So purposefully direct our thoughts toward that which is good and excellent. Romans 12:3, Paul warns us against pride and encourages us to have a humble estimation of ourselves and our thoughts. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. So think soberly, think seriously, soundly about yourself in light of who God is and the grace that he's given to you. 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter says, dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. So there, Peter links wholesome thinking specifically with what? With the word of God, doesn't he? By reminding them of what the Lord has spoken through his apostles and through his prophets. Hebrews 4:12 and 13, we also see the link here between the word of God and our thoughts. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And so God's word even can penetrate our thought life, can't it? You read the word of God, and the book of James says that the word of God is like a mirror. It shows you who you really are. As you read God's word, as you read his commands, his statutes, his teachings, as you read about God working in the lives of people through the narratives and stories of the Bible, you see yourself, you see your sin, you see your thoughts, your intentions, your motives, and the word of God can pierce that and brings healing when we see who we really are, and it opens it up before the Lord. And so I think the word of God is incredibly important for guarding our hearts and directing our thought life toward that which is good and noble and excellent. And so I just want to reinforce some of the things that were said earlier. If you want to think rightly and guard your heart, then pray. If you want to think rightly and guard your heart, then spend time in God's word. If you want to think rightly and have wholesome thoughts that are in line with God's thinking, then guard your associations and your friendships. Guard the gates of your mind, your eye gate, your ear gate, what you allow to come in and influence your mind. Know yourself, your weaknesses, the things that you struggle with. Be aware of the tendency to get on negative thought patterns and stay there, whether it be anger or bitterness or discouragement, jealousy, envy, covetousness. Isn't it amazing how many sins in the Bible are thinking sins, aren't they? What's the last commandment, the 10th commandment of the 10 commandments? Thou shalt not covet, right? Many of the other ones of the 10 commandments, you can see them displayed in, you can see them displayed, right, in front of everyone. So if you are worshiping an idol, people are going to see that. If you are taking the name of the Lord in vain, people are going to hear that. If you are disobedient to your parents, people are going to see that. If you kill someone, people are going to see that. If you commit adultery, people are going to find that out. But the 10th commandment is purely a commandment of the heart. Don't covet. And I think it ends there because God understands in his perfect wisdom and was communicating through Moses that really that's where all these other sins arise out of. Disobeying parents, stealing, committing adultery, killing people, it all starts in the heart, doesn't it? It all starts in our hearts. And so we need to guard it and be on guard against just protecting our thought life. And so a lot of the sins that we deal with are sins of the heart: envy, jealousy, hatred, anger, bitterness, holding grudges against people, lust. These are all sins of the heart. We need God's help in that area of our lives to help us guard our thoughts. It's an incredibly important area of our life because everything else flows out of it, doesn't it? Y'all have any other thoughts? Anything else that you were thinking about? Maybe any other applications or maybe other important ways that we can guard our hearts? Now to the work, right? See, that's the hard thing. And James recognized that in James 1 when it says the word of God is a mirror. It's great to look in a mirror, but it's not great if you look in a mirror and just walk off and don't do anything about it, right? And so God's word calls us to not only hear it, read it, listen to it, but also to put it into practice. And so that's what we need to do. We need to remember these truths, how important our thought life is, and seek to put that into practice. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we finish our time tonight. Father of grace and of wisdom, we thank you for how you have worked in our lives, how you have blessed us, how you have sent your Holy Spirit to come into our hearts and to dwell within us, how that you have awakened our hearts, Lord, to know you and to believe in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have given us your word to direct our thoughts, to direct our actions. We thank you that we can have good counsel, good friendships within the family of God and with other believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have given us so many things, Lord, to direct us in our life's path and to direct our thinking and our minds in the right direction. So, Lord, give us your grace and help us to walk in that right path, to think holy thoughts, pure thoughts, to think on that which is noble and true. And, Lord, help us to think your thoughts, after you in obedience to your word, following the pattern of Christ. Lord, bless our church family, many who are going through difficult times right now, many who are in need of your physical healing hand, and we just want to lift them up to you again and ask that you'd be with our church family. Lord, bring us back together again this next Lord's Day that we might worship you and fellowship together. In Jesus' name, amen.